for a no-cost extension. And over the next couple of months, I think we should start thinking about how we want to do the renewal and what would be the goal going in. So think about it, doing a submission, let's say in winter time or spring for a formal request to the NSF. And if you can find other partners to join, funded partners, that would be even better kind of things. Yeah.
Pankaj, I have a comment on that. Biodiversity is in the process of sending you a letter for an official request for the NCE, for the no-cost extension, for 2018. Something like 4 months of the NCA on the current award. So it's a process we are used to do, because for us it's really time to organize our budget for next year. Yep. And so you may receive from the Grant Office of Biodiversity an official request, because they asked me about it. That's
so great. Instead of doing it for 4 months, I would just say take it for the whole year. That's how we will do it. For the next one whole year, and then and depending on how you disperse your budgets and spread it out, something like that will work. I have no problem.
Okay, I don't know exactly what are the Grant Office vision of the, on that for a whole year, but at least the amount we have is corresponding to almost 4 months. That's
And that's why I'm asking, means we should start thinking about what we want to do in the next round.
Yeah.
Pankaj, two questions really. One, what you said. So if we know people that already have funds and they would like to join us unfunded for the next round, we could invite them to do so. Is that
an option? Yeah, I mean, the people are funded from other agencies or other organizations, and they join the team. Or the current members, for example, if you or Elizabeth have funds from elsewhere, when we write the grant, we write some deliverables, or you already have deliverables in your existing or on the funds that from outside of the Plantium, then we can say, hey, if there is a buy-in that these folks are joining the project to, and we will work collaboratively, but instead of NSF paying for that component would be paid by somewhere else, right?
Oh, great. I didn't realize that was an option.
Yeah, I mean, anything that you can bring on the table actually helps, right? Any money. Because then it is hard for them to decline.
Yeah.
Then that's the only way to go forward.
Okay. And will the Oregon finance will conduct the various place for an outcome, so to create these letters and so on, or do we have to?
I will ask my people to start doing a no-cost extension for all the other people, while we are doing it for NSF.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all from me. In terms of that, I don't know where the planning is going, but I think we should touch base on the deliverables that we said where we would deliver, and cross-check with that. Plus, it's a high time before the PAG to do a one more release, database release, right? So yeah. I think you should plan, and Justin and other people should get together and see what kind of genomes are available, where you're getting the most updated data, and getting things out, rolling it out.
Yeah,
we have about 2 months, so try to make a release happen by December 15th, so you have the full half of October and the full month of November, 1.5 months.
Right. Good, good. Yeah, I don't think Justin's on the call here, but he had to take his daughter, but we can talk with him after. He left his computer on, he said. Yeah. So, George, since you're on the call here, maybe you could give us a little update on what's been going on from your end. And we haven't chatted for a while. You're muted, I think.
Sorry, yes. Sorry, I was talking, I was muted. Sorry, yes. So one positive thing is, as you know, we had problems with sorting out the finances and so on, but now we are hiring somebody using this money full-time to work on this. What Luke is sitting next to me that is working also on the ground, so he's doing some work on the mirroring, so ensuring that ontologies are aligned, also using the logical definitions, and reworking, if I'm correct, Luke, the PhenomeNet. So we're updating Peyto, which is what we need to be doing anyway. So we are at the stage, I think, where when the data has been annotated, we can have, I'll ask Luke to contact you directly to give us a list where the genes are there. I think we're ready to roll a new version of, at least our version of plant phenomena, which is why we're going to use the ontologies and search across. The only thing that we are a bit, I mean, it's not a problem, but it's not going to be very useful for us, the fact that we don't have values, so we only have the qualities at this stage, which means that basically we're just querying across qualities rather than the actual values to create the representation. But I think that's, I mean, at least for to show how it will work, I think it should be fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you bring in a nice aspect of PhenomeNet. And I think what I would love to see is some work being done on that part. Start focusing on that component and see what do you need to deliver on the PhenomeNet.
Yeah. And the work that we've done on Aberol, I know. I mean, we were doing some stuff outside of what we were. Yeah. I mean, the stuff we promised to do are, you know, update data and use the definitions in PhenomeNet and so on, which is what we're doing. But also we're doing the Aberol stuff that Luke presented. Is that something from that end that we could use as, or you want to implement? Or, I mean, it can be a standalone thing, but.
I think you your students showed us the Aberol work, and it looks promising, but I don't know, we might have to reevaluate in some sense to see how much is the overlap with the current Amigo work that is happening with Mangal and Seth and Justin Elser. So it's a good thing, but I think from the grant perspective, I think the deliverable was on the PhenomeNet, and bringing in some annotations or help. Trying to find a mechanism or build tools to help John Doonan's a lot of phenotype annotations there. So we need to see how you can work on getting that work done.
So this is what we'll discuss afterwards. And I'm really keen to do that. So in essence, and this can be a component if you're happy with that, maybe we can have some approach where we automatically annotate some of John's stuff because they're not curated there, as you know, they're from pipelines. And then they will be mostly quantitative. But to me, it's another angle, especially if we're going to get an extension, it will be something that would be really nice for us to work where we take the qualitative, make qualitative data out of it, and then populate PhenomeNet with that. But that's up to you to tell us if you think it's a good idea.
No, that is. Is there anything that you can bring in from John Doonan's work to show that, yes, we have developed some kind of a prototype or we have looked at that data and that can fold into doing more on the next levels? Because my understanding is that NSF gave the money to put the infrastructure in place so that they spend less money next round on building and engaging the community. Right, so that's the goal. Instead of going whole scale new development there, obviously you don't know what needs to be developed in the next few years because technology keeps changing. But I think we need to show what can be done using ontologies in the high throughput phenotyping arena. And John is our ready to go person who has all the data and can make it available to you. This is in addition to some of the phenotype facilities at Montpellier, actually, where I believe we may be able to get access to some of the data through Cyril and Elizabeth's connections there.
Actually, phenotyping. That's a good point. Elizabeth, do you have anything like that? Do you have a way of getting from platforms from quantitative data to qualitative ones? Elizabeth is on the call, isn't she?
Yeah, I think she's muted.
All right, okay, yeah.
Elizabeth, probably. You there? I'll unmute.
So she's telling me that she cannot see Blue Jean.
I don't know, I'm lost. My
computer. Okay.
Some, but Laurel can unmute me.
Yes, I did.
So hopefully, because I couldn't find the place where to unmute anymore. I don't know why. Yeah, no, but it's because my computer makes tricky things with my Windows. Montpellier has got a European project called Phenome. And this project, in fact, France is leading one of a big work package, even the project itself. And Phenome goes across Jülich, Montpellier. I'm not sure it includes the John platform, but at least there are two or three platforms behind. And there is a component on using ontologies for the data exchange between platforms. So I think we could probably connect to them either through François Tardieu or Bjorn Uzadel from Jülich.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be good. Do you know if they automatically annotate the data, or do they do the stuff that we discussed when we met last time in France, where basically they curate some aspects of the metadata, which is still useful, but I'm just wondering what stage they are at.
They're still discussing the proper format for annotating correctly data, because I've been invited to the MyAP workshop in Germany in the IPK platform. And there was a lot of discussion about getting proper metadata first. Particularly describing the experiment. Marie knows, she heard about it as well, and particularly also the environment. They don't have really good resources for the environment.
You mean in terms of ontology terms for the environment?
Yeah. They ask for having an effort for collaborating with your team and any people involved in developing ontologies describing the environment and the experimental design.
That would be, is that from Pierre? That would be actually good, because they're using their own, at least at some stage they were using their own environmental ontology, weren't they?
Yeah, I think there are two aspects over here. Elizabeth is mentioning about the metadata, how the experiment was set up and what was the goal of the experiment. So what kind of material was used, samples, and what kind of phenotypes you're going to be using, and then recording. So some of it is semi-automated. And in some ways, the high-throughput systems have been developed. Few of the phenotypes can be recorded automatically. For example, plant height and leaf color and something like that. So, or number of leaves. There are some aspects of it. But as we move along, I believe what we need to bring in the next round is a neural networks-based approach on identifying the various parts and the variations in those parts between the individual plants. So it will be more of a machine learning aspects that we need to bring it in. So having access to annotating the metadata and the experimental setup and then the kinds of phenotypes they're recording using ontologies is a great idea. And we should be doing that anyhow. But once we have access to the images that are coming in daily, we need to see, are we able to predict what is happening in terms of that phenotype? For example, if the plant starts flowering, how many plants are flowering at the same time? Has it reached 50% flowering stage? And can we correlate based on the images, the growth stages? And that is where some of the work that has been done by Jesse Poland, in where is he? Kansas.
Kansas.
Kansas. He's using the drone-based images of the fields with the hundreds and thousands of plants, let's say about a square mile, and then the high-resolution images where you can actually be able to predict by 95% accuracy that the plants have reached X stage into the flowering. We have done some preliminary work on identifying leaf, flower, and stem, probably in our work that we are doing on machine learning on from images. We are close to around 93-95% accuracy as well to actually identify the plant part. So next stage would be is to identify the variations in those plant parts from one plant to another plant versus one species to another species. So I think that's where our goal should be envisioned. In terms of, so that brings in a component of engineering faculty joining in. We already have two, so that's a strength to move forward in that direction. So what I think is that we already heard from John in one of the meetings, and we should bring in the folks from Montpellier to give a talk if they can about their platform and the work that they've been doing, and tell us more about their methodologies. And then that might kick in some of the conversation, and you should bring in John into that meeting as well. How we want to move forward.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea to have a preliminary meeting like we did before CIROP, is putting all the high throughput phenotyping people together and really have a good discussion.
So once with John and the Montpellier people, and then another one we should invite is Pod from Australian Phenomics people.
And perhaps time
would be a problem, but I think we can do it let's see what happens with the Australian folks. But start with the French group and see what we want to do. This gives us some idea about what they are trying to do and how we can help build the bridges between the two projects.
So Pankaj, I have two or three points. One of them is, I think bringing them together would be great. There are several issues. One of them is most of these projects have they're on private projects, and they won't be able to share the data. I mean, they probably are happy to implement whatever we suggest. John, I know, is definitely is, but he cannot share the data with us because they are from individual projects. So that's one thing.
Yeah, that is true, and it's the same with sequencing projects too. At some point, the data becomes public. What I would say is that even though the data is private, we should work behind the scenes to actually get the data organized and annotated appropriately, so that whenever the data is ready for release, the public would be able to have access to the annotated data and with a very high quality. But on the other hand, even though the data is private, we can keep it private to have our machine learning approaches be working on those things to train our programs. So that should not be a restrictive in that sense, because we are not releasing the data. What we've done is that we take the training set and we train and build our neural networks. And after you've done the neural networks, then after that, you don't need the training set. Once you have it, you do it, let's say once in a couple of months, you train that and then you move on. And anytime new set comes in, you retrain and you regenerate the neural networks. And those networks are used for finding the characters on the images. So you don't need the images after the networks have been formed. So that way, I think keeping it private and using it as a training set, I think would be a good idea. And if we are able to accomplish something, probably we may contribute back to that private project that, hey, you looked at it based on your eyes or on your systems, but we are seeing some additional things that you may be interested in on that side, right?
So I think that leads me to the second point. And I mean, we use machine learning, we use what you're referring as neural networks and different type of approaches, actually. And phenomenal, you can check phenomenal VVP. We do this for prioritizing variants. And we can do it across text, sometimes we use images, another zone. And that's not for plants, by the way. This is what we do at the clinic. But zone also is applying some approaches for identifying from images, extracting features and categorizing images and so on. They have done some work. Mm-hmm. But it is something that it could be. I really love the idea. I think it's something that we can heavily invest to. But it's a change that, and it's I think down to you to kind of lead us towards that because it's different from what we were trying to do. But it's something that we can actually invest in doing. I would be really interested to see how we can. The basic stuff you're referring to, I think, pretty straightforward. We can run. A convolution network, some TensorFlow, and identify, for example, leaves that have been or flowers that have been sprung, and so on. It's mostly identifying phenotypic features and extracting them, which was what John was doing.
I think the kind of work that Murray and Austin are doing on the mapping aspects and making sure the data is easily transformed into ontologies. Is one aspect to move. We continue doing that, and then second one is obviously providing the quality assessments and quality annotation and the phenome network. And if we want to get the funding, that's what I'm hearing from NSF and all the other agencies in the U.S. is they want to see some machine learning component coming into the project, because if that doesn't the reviewers are starting to see differently in that sense, that because they want to think move forward. They say we don't want to spend time on doing manual curation, and they want more of an automation at that point in time.
Okay, because we seem to be hijacking now the Laura's sort of update.
That's okay. No, yeah.
For you, I think would be is. George, you need to go back and talk to John and see what kind of data he has and how you can help him bring in some of the high throughput data, either through annotation or through some other mechanism into the Plantium database.
Yeah, I think it might be useful if we can set up maybe a separate call when we can discuss this idea. Because as I said, there is the issue of actually they're not allowed to give us the data. So that's
no, cool. I think he's, I heard it differently. He said that he has plenty of data. How can he deliver?
Okay. I'll start with John.
We don't need to know who is running that experiment.
Of course. Yeah. Now this I understand. Yes, yeah. Of course. Yep. Yeah.
Lined. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that would be a good idea to, maybe we could organize a call with John and his people and George. Right. And
yeah. So we can see the image stuff. Which is a new angle, plus what we can actually do now with the current data. Because there's a lot of free text. We're doing a lot of work, again, using machine learning to extract features from free text and for quantitative value. So it's something, but it's for us, it's getting access to the data. Like for the plant phenomenon, it's getting access to annotations. That's what we don't want. And that's why I wanted to connect with Laura's point separately. We just need the data. That's the next bit for us.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so we can talk separately, and I think your focus is on PhenomeNet and John's high throughput data.
And can I just add something? Mm-hmm. If we take the route of high throughput phenotyping for our next phase, CGIAR has launched the Excellence in Breeding platform, which is led by CINIT. And Kelly, just his name, the guy in charge of Gobi at Cornell. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is the leader of the module on bioinformatics, and there is one module on isothermal phenotyping. And really, I think they are in great demand of services to help with the harmonization and annotation of data. So we could also perhaps at a certain point find connection.
Yeah, and I think if they have any publicly available data or how they integrate our APIs into their system.
It's very new in CGIAR. CIRAD was the CIRAD. IRI was one of the first centers to have really a high throughput phenotyping facility, followed by IRI, I think it is implementing that. Not all centers are at the same stage, but at least within the module, we could have an exchange and see if they can provide some data, and we see how we can also be a resource for annotation to them.
And can I add something also in that add on top of that? So yeah, they are planning to implement the breeding API. Mm-hmm. And so the breeding API for the part that is like the phenotype part, I mean, they are using, most of them are using like a crop ontology variable or threat, it depends. But yeah, I mean, let's say it's based on the CO model. And so if we have like all the mappings between the CO terms and the TO, I mean, that's also data that maybe you can harvest that way. So calling the breeding API and then getting, because that would be like you would get the germplasm, most of the time the germplasm name and then the phenotypic value for it.
That's true. And I think what they should also be doing is we should telling them, hey, you should start consuming our APIs or as well, instead of them hosting everything. We should start using our APIs for pulling in the annotations and the actual ontology. So we have reference ontologies and I think how many, 8 or 10 crop ontologies as well?
Pankaj, you're kind of fading out.
Do we have crop ontologies? How many? 10 or 8?
We have 8 right now. 8.
8 or 10, yes. 8 crop ontologies and things. So they should start using our APIs in their system.
And for the next release, we'll probably have, what, 2 more, Marie?
Yeah, at least 2 more. So today I started the groundnut and I will do also MUSA quite.
Oh, okay. Groundnut and MUSA, yeah. Yeah. And I had a meeting with Ethy Cannon last week.
Do we have peanut annotations?
Not yet. Genomic ones, I think.
Can you check with Steve Cannon? He's the one who does peanut base.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had a meeting with Ethy last week about that too. Mm-hmm. She's doing a bunch of work with the peanut base and with legume information system. Mm-hmm. And has a bunch of traits that they want to map to us. So,
it's the more buy-in we can show.
Yes,
whether it is for the next round, and obviously having all the mappings done and continue to do that mapping, I think that is our strength, and serving both the annotations and the ontologies using APIs. That would be the fantastic thing to go ahead and do it from our end.
I'm gonna mute my mic here. Sorry, yep.
Right. So on the other front, there are 2 things that we are working on. Is 2 or 3 actually? I'll tell them. One is machine learning aspects that we are already working on. That aspect of identifying some of the parts on the images. As a preliminary work, as well as continuing on the machine learning and how to do those kind of things, vision. Second one is on providing the gene enrichment or ontology enrichment service. That tool is almost ready. And if Justin is there, he can tell you there are more updates, but he's trying to get it installed on our web servers and get that thing to so that people can start testing it.
I should point out it is working now if people want to check it out.
Share the screen if you are, or I, what's the URL? Give it to me.
Plantium.org/oat. I can change the OAT. I thought that's what we landed on. Is the
Plantium.org.
Yep. /OAT.
/OAT?
Yep.
So this is the something. Can everybody see my screen?
Yeah.
So there are some aspects we are testing with. There are some Arabidopsis data. There are some of enrichment facility and statistical method. Where is the example, right, Gene?
Yeah, I hit that. And then just copied some of them.
Do we have to copy the whole thing, right?
No, you don't have to copy all of them.
Yeah, I'll just do this much. You said that. And then what else do I do?
You go down and hit the disambiguate.
I thought that button was up.
Yeah, I thought he said he did that too, but I don't think it's not there yet.
Yeah. Oh, is something happening? I hit it.
Should be. There it is. Yeah, now you can just say analyze.
Analyze ambiguous is that if there are conflicts on the IDs, then you actually get a different way of doing it. So the data is available now. It came back with enrichment fast things, what kind of terms were present, and their p-values, and how many, what was the background and reference actually. And then I can say hit visualize. So what is happening here? Is this thing working? I doubt it.
It was working yesterday. It looks like it's still doing something.
Something? Okay. Yeah. So we should be able to see a network or a graph of the ontologies. Yeah, it's still doing something. So you will be able to see the enrichment of the terms in your data set. It's similar to AgriGo portal that people use most of the time. But this is more better in terms of methods. We improved the statistical method because there was just keep it among yourselves confidentially that AgriGo was calculating it a little bit differently. And it should not be that way. So we corrected that method. And obviously, we added more visualization aspects on it. So if you see the graph over here, it will show up with the, here, there you go.
Oh, there it goes.
There you go. So if I can all categories, geez, it's not allowing me right now.
It looks like a planet.
Yeah, it's more like I should be able to get some things over here. You can zoom in, I guess. And then you also get a heat map. With the values and columns can be sorted by p-values descending, for example, and things like that. So there are different ways and means of seeing how your data is and getting enriched in your things. Okay. I believe there was an option. So this is just showing you some option. I think I'm not getting it, but we're adding filters on it so that instead of having this massive graph that you're seeing here.
Yeah, consider it kind of a beta. We haven't really advertised it yet. I mean, we basically just got it working yesterday and just kind of want to maybe get some input from you guys on what needs to be changed.
So this is one tool that is, we are bringing it online. Hopefully for before the next release, this beta would be out and you can show it at PAG. The second one is that, third one actually. We have a lot of genes and there is no mechanism for us to edit it unless we are editing on our individual databases or on the GAF files. So we have hired another software developer company who are working as consultants with us, and they are building an editing platform where all the genes that we host are editable so that you can actually edit the gene name, symbols, synonyms, description, and any ontology annotations. You can add new genes, you can edit an existing one. This is in addition to Noctua. We are keeping these two items separate, but at some point later on in the following year, we may be able to merge the two aspects together. Because right now, Noctua allows only ontology annotations, but it doesn't allow anything to add on gene name, symbols, and description about that gene and artifact that we object that we host in our database. So that is where, once we open it up, then my goal is, as we suggested in the proposal, is that that becomes a community engagement portal where we seek input from all the people who are registered users. They register and they are able to edit. And it can also serve as a nomenclature portal for lots of other crops, for a gene nomenclature portal as well. Yeah. So that's an update from our side, at least where my hands on. I think Lal and Austin can tell you a little bit more about their ontology things.
Yeah, Austin, do you want to give us a little update on any progress you've made on the stress ontology?
Yeah, sure. So two things. Before stress ontology, I have just a quick question I want to get out there before this meeting is over, just in case I get cut off or we run out of time. I've been working mainly with the results of the Samaris scrape, So the Samara scrape is basically done now, and it's scraped GRIN for germplasm annotations or for germplasm data, and then it's scraped APS for disease, plant diseases, essentially. And so the GRIN annotations, two genuses of them, and I'm working on the next one, or I have tomato lined up to be done. But so what happens is I take all of the genus, all of the lines that are scraped from GRIN, and I filter them by genus because it's easier to do them kind of by species or by species or by genus. And then I map the GRIN traits, or GRIN, they call them descriptors, to ontology terms. And then I run it through a script that I wrote that just generates GAF format files using the data from the scrape and the mapping file that I create with Marie's help. And so I have a question briefly. Is it more important to, the end result is I have a list of terms that match and a list of terms that don't match, or descriptors that don't match. Either we don't have a term for them, or the term is not quite correct. And so should I work to add new terms to the ontology so that I complete the whole set, or is it more important to just get through all of the scraped data?
I would say I would take an integrated approach of both. Keep on adding new terms.
Okay. I'm going to add some tomato terms and get the tomato potato set in. But that will result in a lot more terms. I'll probably need some help getting the terms either in or determining whether or not the terms that I think are needed are actually needed.
Yeah,
but that can go. That can go to a different thing. I put some of them up in GitHub, and I guess I'll continue to do that. Okay. So I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, and maybe this would be a time to test the new editor function. You know, the Inca tool.
I'm actually about to jump into that part, because that coincides also with plant disease ontology, or plant stress ontology of plant stress. So I've made up a ontology of plant stress mock-up that has kind of two divisions, biotic, abiotic. You guys may have heard this before. And now I'm focusing on the actual scraped diseases from APS. And so there's a lot of diseases that come down from the scrape.
Right.
And the result is actually pretty good in the fact that it takes the disease, the pathogen, it finds an NCBI term that matches that pathogen, and then it takes the host and does the same for that. So we have NCBI numbers for the taxon and for the pathogen. Not all of them. It's about 60% have both correctly mapped, and the rest I sort of drop right now. And then through Marie's help, she took the plant part that was in the disease name. If there was no plant part, we used whole plant. And so that fits into our plant disease pattern.
Right.
And so the plant disease pattern then goes basically, it's a plant disease. It's caused by an exposure to a plant experimental condition containing the pathogen. And then it occurs on some plant structure. And so I wrote a little script to sort of do a once over pass of the naming, because the names that are scraped down are really weird, and there's no like standardized formatting on APS. If you look at the diseases on APS, they're just sort of willy nilly.
It's kind of just a list.
Yeah, and they're sometimes they're like the name is like a sentence. It's like, you know, so it's kind of strange. So I've gone and wrote a script that does a kind of a once over pass that kind of reformats the names and then puts those names in. And I've put that, the resulting output of that, into what is it called? Inca?
Inca. Yeah, Inca tool.
I put it into the Inca tool, and I get a couple of errors for my pattern, and that's like a specific thing that I can work out with maybe Chris or Murray's help. But it looks like it's pulling it up and putting it into this table. But I guess at this point, I'm not exactly sure what to do with it.
Yeah. So, you know, we should probably have a meeting with Dan and Chris.
Yeah,
because I have, see where they're at with that.
A nice big set of data that would be, I can run Chris's script on it, the Python script to just create an ontology with it. But I'd like to leave, I'd like our discussion about leaving it in the table for people to edit the names, because the naming script that I wrote is kind of, it's a broad pass, and there's like 7,000 diseases. So I needed to get through as many as I could quickly, but it's going to take a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of manpower to actually look at the diseases and make sure they're not named kind of wonky.
Yeah.
And Austin, if I can say something, in fact, I mean, the Inca tool, once you create, you add new term in the table, it's supposed to make a push to the GitHub repo. But for now, this part is not working. So what you have to do is re-download the table and push that manually to the GitHub. But then you need to run like the make file that will run the script, SVP script, or either the Python script that Chris made to create the ontology. But I mean, you need to do that. I mean, there's steps in between. I mean.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Between steps. So yeah. I think I just need to get. I'm not sure where when you go to the GitHub, the Inca Plantiome GitHub. Mm-hmm. It says like try now, and you click the thing, and it opens it up, and I can load in my files locally. But I don't know if that's not the end result. We'd like to have it, you know, be the data live on, I don't know, GitHub, I guess, wherever we want the data to live.
So for that, you need to talk with Dan, because you need to configure the your file and your repo. I mean, like to register your repo in the tool, so it can automatically get from your repo, like the table, and then. Mm-hmm. Ideally, every time someone will go on Inca and add a new term, I mean, that would be pushed to your GitHub repo.
Okay. So we can maybe get together.
Yeah, because he did that for like the PO, no, not the PO, for the TO and the EO, he has done that, so.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, maybe I'll look at that and see if I can't get that up so everyone can start looking at these diseases. Real quickly, so right now for the label or for the ID, I've just put in like a generic oops colon and then seven X's, because I don't know how that part of it works, is because I'd like to assign an ID automatically.
So this will be right. Also, so that won't be, I mean, as far as I understood what they say is that won't be done by Inca itself, or at least not now. But that will be done when you get the file from Inca to your repo, and then you run the make file, like for the release process, then that will create, I mean, we still need to write that piece of code to be able to generate the ID for us.
Okay.
That would be part of the release process. I don't think that would be part of the Inca tool itself.
Okay. So it's not important that the ID isn't there yet, because that won't happen until it actually gets released into the ontology world.
Yes, exactly. Right. That's what I understood. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I sort of interrupt? Did you say 7,000 diseases, Austin?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the scrape actually comes back with 11,000 lines, but I have to throw out like close to 5,000 of them because they don't have a match for host or pathogen. Either or, not they don't have both, but if they don't have one, I can't use the pattern.
Right. And these are distinct diseases, are they?
No. I'm going to say no, not all of them, because what happens is once the pattern is applied to the list of diseases, it and that new ontology is thrown into like something that can reason over it, like Protégé, you see quite a bit of overlap. I haven't like quantified that in any way, so I'm not gonna say any numbers, but there's definitely a good deal of overlap. And I think, honestly, I think that the most important thing that could come of this is maybe to convince APS or the groups that are head of APS that they should really adopt a more standardized way of naming their diseases. And if I can show that to them, maybe that will help. Because
maybe. Yeah,
I think there's probably a lot of confusion.
A lot of it's historical, though.
Right, definitely. And there's also, I mean, there's a good number of diseases that out there that just have a name and a host, and they're not actually sure which pathogen is causing it yet.
Yeah. Or there are various different symptoms at different stages, or
right, and they call the same disease, they call it the same interaction, two different diseases depending on whether it happens at a seedling stage or a late stage.
Yeah, and the different stages of the fungus. So,
I'm sorry again. Are there phenotypes associated with these diseases? Are there like descriptions or any?
So, we don't have any that are scraped. Yes, there definitely are, but they're not centralized and they don't come from the scrape. The scrape actually, unfortunately, can just pull the names, and APS doesn't really have detailed information on all of them, obviously. But yeah, that is kind of in the, that's in the pipeline, I think, is to add like phenotype descriptions or some sort of relationship to the trait ontology to describe these diseases.
That would be great. That's
yeah, it'd be interesting.
And then we can use it directly. I think that then we have a really large corpus of data to work with. Okay.
Right. And I think, I mean, that's going to take a, I don't know of any like really automated way to do that, because it's kind of, there isn't anything that exists right now that has the list of all of these traits in order of disease. Everyone kind of works in their own silo. This is my disease. I work on it. I have these phenotypes, etc.
And there's no free text description maybe associated with this? They don't provide anything, just the disease name?
Not in a centralized way. There are some. I think APS does have some, but not definitely not on the whole set.
Because you can see we could text mine and we can automatically assign traits, at least traits to the disease.
Yeah, that would actually be very cool to do.
Well, if we can get our hands on it, we can have a go.
Yeah, let me do some digging and see if I can't find at least maybe just a test set of a couple of more well-known diseases that we can try that on.
Yeah, and also, I mean, in the crop dictionary that we have, I mean, some of the scales for the disease.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Like symptoms. I think you can see symptoms, like they look at the leaf or they look at, I don't know what they can look at, but yeah, like the leaf damages.
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea.
Can I, sorry again to tell you, by symptoms, what do we mean?
Like lesions, lesions, wilting, short stature, stuff like that.
Yeah, but there's no distinction between symptom and phenotype. That's what I mean. It's not like sign, it's not like we have in the medical world. It's all the same thing.
It's essentially the same thing, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, great.
I mean, Barry would get mad at me for saying that, but functionally, we can kind of treat them the same.
Yeah, that's what's important. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. That's all I've got ontology related right now.
That's pretty cool. Very nice. Very nice. So do you think we might have like a prototype of this or like a beginning of this for the next release?
Yeah, if you want. I have the ontology as it exists now. I worry about releasing it to the wild because then you're kind of set on the names.
Yeah.
And I think the names are probably the weakest point at this point.
So maybe for the next one. Yeah. Yeah. And are you going to stay with the OOPS or are you going to go with PSO?
It doesn't matter to me. I've just used OOPS everywhere because we have PSO, PTO, PEO, P. Everything starts with a P. So it's hard for me to like autocomplete. So I'm, you know, I like the O.
whatever. It doesn't matter to me, but just curious. Yeah, because we'll have to like register the namespace. Anyway, these are details we can sort out as we move ahead.
Yeah.
So from my end, I've been doing quite a bit of writing lately. We have the NAR database paper is out for review right now, doing and working with our various collaborators on adding TO terms and getting some of that work finished up. And we're also working on revising the plant experimental conditions ontology. So those are the big focuses that I've got going right now. We have a couple new collaborators that, not actually new collaborators, but collaborators that we've worked with in the past, Hong Ku, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, Q, contacted Pankaj at the botanical meeting, I think, in China. And she's going to probably come and join the call, the next call that we have. She'll probably present some of her work I've been in contact with her, and then they're interested in working from their end on adding some terms and so on. So,
Hong is working with the, I think, who's the other guy? He's in Canada.
Yeah, I forget his name off the top of my head.
So they Dan McKill or something like that. So he's working on, they're working on North American flora project, and that project is almost coming to an end. I think they might be going for a renewal, but they have digitized the description of the flora that was available in some printed form or something like that. So they're coming up with some nice strategies, because all of those taxons, the taxonomy wise, are involved in characters and character matrices. And so they would have a ton of more phenotypes than the phenotypes agriculture people actually are looking for. So this is a way for you as well, George, because this will push your PEDO to the limits and would need more PEDO involvement at that point of time. Okay, so I think so. Keep an eye on for Hong Kui's presentation, and I would love to have those guys involved, because then we venture into the territory of botanical collections as well.
Right. Great. Yeah. Great. So I'm supposed to meet with her next week, and then we're going to set up a time that she can come and present some of this on the group call. So mm-hmm. we're going to try to have these group calls, but get back on a regular every other week on Tuesdays. We had to do it on Thursday this week because of scheduling here, but we wanted to just, you know, get together and kind of touch base with people. And so, yeah. And so we're kind of getting down to the end of the hour. Are there other things that people want to bring up? Anything else? If not, I think we'll wrap up here. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. Appreciate it. Okay. All right.
Time for me to find the mic.
Yeah, before we leave, I think Justin, you, when you were out, we were talking about that getting together and trying to work out a release schedule.
Before. Oh, he's not on the call right now.
He's gone, Justin?
Yeah, he just had to take his kid to the bus.
I thought he came in for a short while.
Well, he popped in and he popped out again. He's sending me little messages.
Okay, no.
But I mentioned to him about the release, and we'll talk about it some more. Okay. Yeah, for Wonderful. Sure.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Keep an eye. And George, if the more often you can come, the better it is.
Yeah.
So, I kind of missed. I didn't realize there were other calls apart from the last one I've been
doing. No.
We haven't had one for a while. Okay. Yeah.
And Lol, can you start putting it on the calendar? Just put it
out. Yeah, I always do. Yeah, it's on the calendar.
So, tentatively, so that it's on George's calendar too.
Yeah. And I think, George, you have access to the Plantium calendar.
I have, and I didn't see any calls. That's why I don't know
if you guys can't remember. Yeah, no, I appreciate you joining today. That's great.
Before we leave, Elizabeth, are you going to organize something or invite the Montpellier Phenotype Group?
That was my question, is what do you expect from me?
Invite them to tell us about their phenotype platform and how they're collecting data and annotating the data.
A webinar?
Hmm?
You would like to organize a webinar?
Yeah, it's a webinar.
That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, and let's say they can plan something like 20, 30, 40 minutes, whatever they like. And then leave some room for discussion and potential collaborations. No commitments from either side, but we want to see who is doing what at this point of time. Okay.
Okay. So I will try to find out which date is convenient for them to.
Sure. Yeah. And, all means starting at around 8:15, 8:30 is our time in the morning is the ideal.
Yeah,
but if we have to do even earlier, let's say, I don't know, I don't want to make everybody wake up at 6 a.m. and over here.
I may discuss with them if they present only what they do on the French platform for Phenome, yeah. Or if they could also mention what they do across the Phenome network.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Yeah. That's absolutely fine. And then next one, after that, I would love to invite, what is this called? Bjorn Usedal from Jülich to tell us about what he's doing at Jülich.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And just before we break, I would like to thank Laurel for the paper in for NAR. It was great to write this paper, and I hope that's nice. I hope it will be accepted.
You're welcome. Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah, thanks, Laurel.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I know why we didn't have any meeting before.
summer was busy. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry for pushing a lot.
No, that's good. We need to get it out, and it's good to have it out. Hopefully it'll be a smooth review process. So
yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.